Good evening and welcome to another episode of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And we are your tour guides through the world of the paranormal.
We've got a whole lot of history, a whole lot of mystery, and a whole lot of weird.
So sit back, relax, and prepare for a spine-tingling time. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Boo, My Dad Says. How are we doing tonight, my dear?
Howdy ho, Neighbor Joe. We're doing pretty good. It's spring. It's almost April. Yeehaw.
Oh, I know it. I mean, it just seems like yesterday we were getting ready to celebrate our birthdays.
I know. That whole dad burn month has already come and gone, and now it's not party time anymore.
Sadness. Oh, how sad. So we don't have to worry about getting another year older, at least for another year.
That's true. I'm not ready. Yeah, that's true.
Boy, we have got a crazy week coming up this week, though, don't we?
Oh, man, it is pretty wild. We have, I don't know, what do we have going on, babe?
Well, I've got my honeydew list.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a little improvements around the old homestead. We are going to try to replace some light fixtures and a doorbell and a doorknob and put up some blinds.
Fix the toilet.
I'm going to be painting. So it's not all you. I'm going to be doing some things too.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting week. So we are actually recording again on Sunday night. I would not be surprised if this show actually drops Wednesday morning instead of Wednesday night. If you want to reach us on social media, give us a look out on Facebook. You can find us under the Boo My Dad Says page, and we have a group there that you can join, and you can talk about all the fun ghosts and stuff that you have seen, or you can check us out on Instagram and Twitter.
Definitely, and if you have a story you'd like to share with us, and you're not necessarily a fan of social media, you can feel free to give us an email. Just shoot us an email at john@boomydadsays.com.
Should I even bring up the hot mama?
No, you do not need to bring up the hot mama. I know not which of you, what you speak of.
This is starting to become a running gag between the two of us, I think, now.
Hot, maybe hot flashes.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can have hot mama at boomydadsays.com, and I'll create myself one called hot daddy. This week, we are going to be ending up our tour through San Antonio with the Alamo. And I think you've got the history part, as usual, because you don't want nothing to do with no ghosts.
No ghosties. Nope, not doing it.
Because she can't say she's afraid of no ghosts.
I'm terrified. I'm not terrified of them, but I have a really vivid imagination. And I watched all these scary movies when I was in high school. But then I started having nightmares and night terrors. And sleep is more valuable to me these days than just being scared. Anyway, that is neither here nor there.
I can watch a scary movie and then just laugh about it.
Well, I am not, because the mind is a powerful thing, and I will give you that. There are spirits at work in the world. I will admit that. I don't need to go looking for them, though. But I'm all about the history. That's the nerd in me. I didn't say I was Urkel. Oh. Hush your face. Like the hot mama nerd.
Yeah, you're the... Oh, there we go. That's your email address, hotmamanerd@boomydadsays.com.
Somebody take his microphone away.
No, I just got a new one.
I'll take it.
All right, dear. Tell us a little bit about the history so we can get going.
All right. So way back when, before the Alamo earned its nickname as the Alamo, it was known as Mission San Antonio de Valero. The site for the church had been chosen by Father Antonio de San Buenaventura y Olivares, after the monks first established mission, San Francisco de Solano in the Rio Grande Valley. It had taken a dastardly turn for the worst. So following that failed establishment, the monks fled. They were frightened for their lives, and the missionaries gathered under a cottonwood tree along the banks of the San Antonio River. Father Antonio had recalled the spot from nearly 10 years earlier. As they stood below the cottonwood tree, they decided it was a suitable location to build their mission. Although the site was chosen in 1724, work did not begin on the mission San Antonio de Valero's stone church until 1774.
Did you know that the word Alamo in Spanish means cottonwood?
I was getting ready to say that, old dude.
I took the words right out of your mouth.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Mission San Antonio de Valero would be the first of five such missions built by the Franciscan monks along the San Antonio River, but all have been built with a singular purpose: to help spread the ideals of Roman Catholicism to the Native American peoples who inhabited the region. In 1793, the Spanish had begun to secularize their missions, starting with San Antonio de Valero. For a time, the church became the location of the first hospital in Texas. Soon, it was outfitted as a fort and was assigned the brand new nickname, the Alamo, for that cottonwood tree that Father Antonio had once gathered below nearly 80 years earlier. The layout of the complex was perfect for barracks, and it was not to anyone's surprise that in the budding city of San Antonio, when in 1803, a company of 100 heavily armed soldiers and their families moved in. For a period of 32 years, the Alamo defenders would protect the city from the raiding Apaches and Comanches. But when Mexico earned its independence from Spain in 1821, the people of San Antonio and the cavalrymen who called the Alamo home turned to their own hope for freedom from the reigning Mexican regime. The Texas Revolution then erupted on October 2, 1835, and it was near the town of Gonzales. The Texian troops, I wonder if it's Texian or Texan. It's got an I in it. I'm going for Texian, but I would have thought it would just been Texan.
That's what I would say is Texan. That's could be just a typo on the...
It's in several places, though.
I guess Texian it is.
Whatever. Then people in Texas banded their troops together, driving into San Antonio. December 5th commenced the five-day brutal struggle with the Mexican troops. For three long days, the fight warred on... Where am I? Oh, there I am. Sorry. The fight warred on between the Texans and the Santa Anna's brother-in-law, General Martin Perfector de Cos. What followed was a disturbingly gritty play of house-on-house assaults, snipers seated at the rooftops picking people off on their targets below. On the street level, opposing forces clashed together in hand-to-hand combat, where the only sure thing was seeing the face of your killer before your own eyes slid closed and the breath left your own body. Both sides struggled to gain control of the city of San Antonio, but it would ultimately be the Texans who won the street fight, forcing the Mexican authorities to surrender. General Cos signed over everything that the Texans demanded: property, money, ammunition, and weapons. Cos moved his troops to the Rio Grande, and the siege of Bexar came to a close. But, bum, 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 the win was short-lived. By January of 1836, the Texans had re-outfitted the old San Antonio mission as their home base. When Colonel James Bowie, the famed double-edged, knife-wielding volunteer soldier, showed at the church, he'd been given orders from General Sam Houston to blow the Alamo up. "Line the walls with dynamite and gunpowder," Houston must have ordered. "We can't risk letting Santa Anna in to capture any of the weaponry." But Bowie saw the situation a little differently. He took one look at the mission and believed that if the Alamo fell, there was nothing, no barrier, no other defense to keep General Santa Anna from infiltrating and recapturing the rest of Texas. Nope, the Alamo would not be blown to smithereens under his watch. Not to mention the fact that Colonel Bowie did not want to have to move two dozen cannons with only 25 men at his disposal. Smart man, that James Bowie.
A cannon per person.
That's a lot of heavy lifting for one dude. Okay. So, James Bowie and his 25 volunteers were not alone for much longer. When Colonel William Travis showed up at the Alamo, he did so by bringing a battalion of more than 100 military men. Still, the sum of 140 men were just not enough. Surely they were not enough to go after General Santa Anna's troops, which were numbered to over 1,000 cavalrymen. Travis was in desperate need for more help. He pinned the government in Texas. He sent one frantic missive, and another. There never was a response, and Santa Anna's troops were quickly closing in. For what it was worth, luck shined down on Travis and Bowie on their men on February 19th, when a group of 20 volunteers arrived with the notorious Davy Crockett at the helm.
I am so proud to be a Tennessean.
I'm from North Carolina.
Well, we can't all be blessed.
That's right. We can't all be from North Carolina.
No,
that's true.
I am only kidding. North Carolina is a wonderful state because that's where I had to go to find my wife.
Dang straight. There was no good Tennessee girls here for you. Okay, so Crockett was a man of his day. He had reportedly killed 108 bears in 8 months, supposedly rode alligators as a workout, and to many, Crockett was certifiably insane. But he was perfect for the Texas independent cause. He rallied behind the other supporters and helped to round out the number of the Alamo defenders to 189.
He killed one of those bears when he was only three.
I hear that on the song. 189 Alamo defenders against more than 1,500 Mexican soldiers. May the odds be ever in your favor. But the odds were not in the Texans' favor that day, but they dug deep anyway. In his last plea to the Texas government, Colonel William Travis wrote that their efforts at the Alamo would either earn them victory or they would die trying, he said. Not 4 days later, General Santa Anna and his troops swarmed in, capturing the city of San Antonio. At the historic San Fernando Church, he rose up a red flag. Now, the red flag indicated that he would leave no survivors if the revolutionaries didn't surrender. The Texans allegedly responded with a single cannon blast. Boom, suckers, take that. And then the battle began. That's what they said. They told me. The exact details of the Battle of the Alamo are unknown. Not a single Texan soldier survived except for one, Colonel William Travis's slave, Joe, who was later released by General Santa Anna on the premise that since Joe did not have a choice on whether he fought, he couldn't be held accountable for standing with the rebels. First of all, was his name really Joe? I have questions. Like, that seems pretty like, hey, it's like John Doe. It's all Joe. So all through that time, the rest did not make it. The images that have been passed down through the generations are powerful, shocking in their almost tangibility. Travis was one of the first to die with his rifle tucked against his shoulder as he unloaded it against those who threatened to keep Texas as part of Mexico. Remember the Alamo! Davy Crockett remembered for hoisting his musket high above his head, using the butt of his firearm as a weapon itself because he'd run out of ammunition. Remember the Alamo! And Colonel James Bowie laid abed with typhoid pneumonia, shooting at the enemy as they filtered into his room until their opponent's bayonets rained down and carved his body unto death. Remember the Alamo! It said that the rallying call could be heard all through the Alamo as the defenders fought their very last breath. Their heroism would be stamped into the memory for all of eternity, although their physical bodies would be treated as nothing more than a war trophy. General Santa Anna refused to grant the Texas defenders a proper burial. General Santa Anna refused to grant the Texas defenders a proper burial following Mexico's victory at the ruthless and bloody Battle of the Alamo. Their bodies were mounted on three pyres and lit into flames. Others were buried in mass graves. Others were simply thrown carelessly into the San Antonio River. According to the story, their bodies were later gathered and placed inside an unmarked grave, but there is little knowledge as to where that grave might be. 3 weeks later, General Sam Houston would defeat Santa Anna at the Battle of San Jacinto by present-day Houston, some 200 miles east of San Antonio. Their numbers have been greatly hurt by the fight at the Alamo, with over 1,500 Mexican soldiers dead and more than 500 wounded. At the Battle of San Jacinto, Santa Anna would ultimately admit his defeat. Texas gained its independence. But the souls at the Alamo still remain, haunting the historic mission now as they did even then.
Thank you, dear. Now, moving on to the hauntings going on at the Alamo, and believe it or not, it did not take long for the hauntings to begin. It was basically mere days that had passed since the bloodshed when General Santa Anna mandated that the historic church be burned down to the ground. The thought was that the Texans might see the mission as a shrine to those who had rebelled against him, and that made Santa Anna furious. So angry, actually, that he ordered his field commander, General Andrade, to bring a group of cavalrymen out to the site and see that the whole place was lit on fire.
On far.
On far.
You got to say it like you're from Tennessee. Well. He's on far.
Doing as he was told, Andrade agreed and sent his men. When they arrived at the Alamo, however, they were quick to turn back around and return to the Mexican Army camp. Andrade demanded to know why they had not completed the task. Shaken and white-faced, one of his men stepped back. He regaled Andrade with a tale of six Diablos who stood before the Alamo. Each had held a flaming sword, encircling the group of soldiers as they blocked the entrance to the mission. They'd feared destroying the church and what might happen to them if they did. Rumors circulated that the entities protecting the Alamo were those men who died during the battle, while others claimed that vigilant specters must have been the old Franciscan monks guarding their mission. But General Andrade only scoffed at the tale of warrior ghosts and the terrified expressions on his men's face. He'd go there himself then. He enlisted a few men and set off towards the Alamo, Santa Anna's orders to burn the place down ringing loud in his ears. When he arrived, he directed his troops to the Longhouse Barracks. Only this time, instead of the sword-wielding ghosts at the front gate, Andrade and spotted a tall male spirit rising up on the roof of the barracks. Clasped in each hand was a ball consumed in fire. The specter held out the flaming weapons, and the Mexican soldiers dropped to their knees, the heels of their palms dug into their eyes to block out the sight, but it was no good. They feared for their lives. Andrade left the mission well enough alone, hightailing it out of San Antonio with his troops as fast as they could march. Neither they nor General Santa Anna ever returned to the Alamo, and the mission would not fall to ruin within the next 10 years.
Diablos. I like that word.
Yeah, how would you like to show up and have something like that happen to you?
I think I'd turn around and go back home.
You'd be kind of like that baby in that GIF that...
Yes, that you like to use all the time.
Oh, yeah, I love using it. I don't know if y'all have seen the GIF, whatever you want to call it. The little baby, he's running down. He's probably like maybe, what, 2 years old?
18 months.
18 he's months. Little. He's running down the hall, and he sees something, and he goes, and he turns around and goes back.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That'd be me.
That's like my favorite one to use anymore. All right, moving on. By 1846, Texas had been annexed into the United States, and the old Alamo was then converted into a complex for the U.S. Army. But in 1871, the decision came to demolish part of the old church, leaving only the old barracks and the church. The dismantlement never came. When the newspapers voiced the deconstruction of the historic mission San Antonio de Valero, sightings of ghosts wandering the grounds of the church began to be reported, almost all of them coming from the guests staying at the Mingar Hotel just across the plaza, which the Mingar Hotel is also rumored to be haunted. And we may come back around and hit some of these other places in San Antonio at another date, because believe me, honestly, I could probably go two or three more episodes and not get all of the haunted sites in San Antonio. Those staying at the hotel swore they had seen the spirits of a long-ago army marching up and down the path in front of the Alamo. Some of the apparitions disappeared into the walls of the building, and others stood guard all night as if protecting the site from anything or anyone who might seek to tear it down. Rather hastily, plans to alter or tear down the Alamo were put to rest, and it became home to a police headquarters and jail instead, though the sightings of spirits never ceased. Between 1894 and 1897, the local newspaper, the San Antonio Express News, published a series of articles which highlighted the almost freakish paranormal phenomenon occurring at the Alamo. The reports described the ghostly guards which marched up and along the roof of the police station, the dark figures roaming the corridors at night, and the distinct sounds of moaning that awoke the staff and the prisoners from their slumber. What do you think about that, dear?
Pass.
pass?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. I figured you would have some kind of logical reason for all of that.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Before it's all said and done, she will no longer be a skeptic.
Oh, no. I will always be a skeptic. You can count on that.
Soon the activity was so vibrant, so alive in its frequency, alive when we're talking about dead people.
That seems a little ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, that's almost a pun right there, isn't it?
Yeah, I really do think. I need some Alanis Morissette out there tonight.
That guard started to refuse being on the patrol shift at night. The policemen were furious, but no one would take those shifts. In fear of running across one of the many ghosts of the Alamo still haunting the grounds, and the prison was forced to move not that long after. Long before the Battle of the Alamo occurred in 1836, the site on which the Alamo and the plaza sit was once a cemetery for the city of San Antonio. Between the years of 1724 and 1793, it is estimated that nearly 1,000 people were buried on this land. Then the battle transpired, and the number of dead whose blood ran into the soil increased by tenfold. It is said that often construction workers doing work in the Alamo Plaza sometimes pull up skulls and bones. Is it possible that many of these souls still haunt the site that marked their graves?
No. No, it's not.
Oh, come on. I tell you, I have had my mind changed after visiting the Tipton Haynes site last week.
But you weren't the skeptic, so how did your mind change?
Well, I mean, I guess everybody has a little bit of a skeptic side to them, but it's pretty hard to discount a lot of this stuff now when you've kind of witnessed some of it. One of the most commonly spotted ghosts at the old mission is that of a blonde-haired boy. He is seen most often in the upstairs left window, which now is part of the Alamo's gift shop. As the story goes, it is believed that the little boy was evacuated during the siege of the Alamo. Though he survived, it's thought that perhaps his parents did not, and his spirit returns over and over again to the site where he last saw them. During the month of February, his little ghost is seen most frequently. I wonder if that's more of a residual haunting than an intelligent one. Oh, well.
A residual versus intelligent. Oh, just because, like, that's where he died, so his spirit just is hanging out?
Well, no, he didn't die there, but it's one of those things, like, when we talked about, like, a residual haunting, it is kind of like, you know, how things will record events and then play them over again. That's what the residual haunting is. An intelligent one is one that actually, like, you know, you could ask a question and you might get an answer.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing. The Mexican soldier. Along the outer walls of the Alamo, the ghostly figure of what is believed to be a Mexican soldier has been seen by tourists and locals alike, meandering through the grounds. His hands are always clasped behind his back, his chin tilted down. He shakes his head somberly. Although it can't be proven one way or another, this ghostly soldier is believed to be General Manuel Fernandez de Castrillon, one of Santa Anna's commanders who refused to lay siege to the Alamo. After the last of the firefight on the eve of the battle came to an end, six men were brought to Castrillon to surrender. The general offered the men his protection, but Santa Anna refused this act of truce and ordered the Texans' executions. Infuriated when Castrillon refused to follow orders, Santa Anna murdered the men himself, hacking them to death with sharp-bladed sabers, and almost killed Castrillon himself. Various reports have surfaced over the years of seeing the apparitions of a man and child up on the rooftop of the Alamo. The spirits are always seen just after sunrise, but then the image distills, jerks as the ghostly man wraps his arm around the child and leaps off of the parapet to the ground below. It would seem that these ghostly figures are a case of residual energy, or during the last moments of the Battle of the Alamo, General Andrade and the Mexican soldiers glanced up and were horrified to see a tall, thin man with a small child in his arms, leaped to the ground from the parapet at the rear of the Alamo Church.
That sounds terrible.
I know. I wonder what the story behind that one is. Although, if it's residual, that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody had died there.
Highly suspicious.
Since the close of the Battle of the Alamo in 1836, the number of ghosts and paranormal activity at the old mission has not lessened, but increased. A ghostly guard is still spotted on the south side of the roof, especially on nights when it is rainy or cold. Visitors to the Alamo, which became a museum in 1905, have expressed feeling very melancholy when wandering through the main chapel area of the mission complex. Some have even felt so depressed that tears leap into their eyes and they are powerless to control their erratic emotions. Others have reported hearing disembodied voices, whispers, as though the spirits are still experiencing the worry of the impending battle and the phantom footsteps. It seems that even those who choose to visit the mission San Antonio de Valero, the ghosts which still haunt the old church grounds, have one singular purpose for remaining: to make sure that all who visit forever remember the Alamo. So, dear, what do you think about our trip through San Antonio? That's quite a run for 3 weeks, wasn't it?
Definitely. There's a lot of history down there. And with history, we know comes mystery. And there's been a lot of...
come a whole lot of weird.
That's true. And the thing, I mean, there's a lot of death. All these places have had significant catastrophes or wars or whatever. So I'm not discounting that. I just don't want to see it or talk about it. Like, seriously.
One of these days, we might make our way up to Gettysburg and do a series on that. But I would like to be able to make sure I absolutely do Gettysburg justice. And it would be one of those times that I may have to go up there and do some tours and actually see some of the sites, because it's kind of like wanting to do a ghost hunt here in my hometown. I would like to do the hunt here first before I actually do a show on it, because I just feel like it's that important. And I think Gettysburg would be one of those places. And it's kind of like the same thing too. I'd like to, you know, if I ever did the White House, I would probably want to tour it first, but I don't even know if you can tour the White House.
Yeah, is that even a thing anymore? I guess it is. I mean, they don't probably have all the behind the scenes tours like they used to, but.
Well, I mean, there are some places that you still would never be able to get to go to, like the Lincoln Bedroom and things like that. But, you know, there are several documented cases of world leaders running into Abe Lincoln's ghost at the White House.
Oh, creepy.
I mean, I think Winston Churchill had seen him. Several of the presidents, they say, especially during any type of when something really like a stressful scenario is going on, it seems like his appearances seem to ramp up.
Interesting. Could be.
Well, folks, if you like the show, go out to and you listen on an iPhone or an Apple product, make sure you go out to the Apple Podcasts and give us a rating and review. That really helps us to be found in the listings when people go looking for us. And also, next week, we may have some big news boiling in the pot for you all. But
in the podcast pot, not in our pot.
Yeah, in the podcast pot. But I'm not going to bring it up just yet, because there's a few things still kind of being
worked out. John can't keep a secret anyway. So it'd kill him to talk about it a little bit by the not talking about it.
Oh, but that's where all the fun is coming.
No, the fun is just flat out making an announcement and shocking everyone.
No, but now there's anticipation.
We're going to have a ghost on next week.
We are?
It'll be your ghost.
My ghost.
You're coming back. You don't hush.
No, but we will keep you posted. If something were to change, we will let you know. But there is a chance that we will have a rather big announcement on next week's show. So with that being said, dear, are you ready to go upstairs and take her easy for what's left?
I'm ready to go round up the children, get their carcasses in the bath, and get them in the bed because we got school tomorrow. We're not on spring break like some people are next week.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So we got to get back to
Had your spring break last week. 2 weeks ago. I lose track of time.
Yes. Time is elusive. But yeah, we do have a big week, and it's a school week, and it's Easter week. If you celebrate Easter, today was Palm Sunday, which, I mean, y'all be hearing this on Wednesday, but we will have, of course, Good Friday and then Easter weekend, and time is just going by quick. And then after that, we've got several things hopping down the line. So
we do have one nice little tweet that came about our show on Twitter. User Forensic Lady 722, she wrote a nice tweet about our show. She goes, really good podcast. I look forward to hearing each week. And ours was listed, the Boom My Dad Says, Creepy Caffeine and Graveyard Podcast. So that's, you know, especially being grouped in there with the Graveyard Tales show, that is a really big honor. So thank you, Forensic_Lady22, for your kind words. And we will do our best to keep making good content so you keep coming back and listening to more. Well, folks, we will jump off here for tonight, and we will see you again next week. Good night, and God bless, my friends.